I'd like to welcome you all this morning to this service. A special welcome to those who are listening to us online. Even as you listen to us online, you shall be online to God's miracles in Jesus' name. And for those of us who are here this morning, we're honored and privileged to have you to worship with us today. This is the Redeemed Christian Church of God Redemption Chapel. And even as we go on our theme for this month, is a month where we'll believe strongly in our hearts that new things are definitely about to happen and are happening in our lives already. It is the month of liberty. And when we're talking about liberty, we're talking about God setting you free from whatever form of bondage that you may find yourself in. I say to somebody here that Jesus, who has come to set the captives free, whichever area of your life that you're experiencing bondage, whether you know it or you do not know it, he that sets free and none can put in bondage again has set you free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, permit me to talk to you about overcoming rejection. Freedom from rejection. Everybody say freedom from rejection. Now, so that I won't waste too much time, I had to write some few things down. So permit me to read the things I've written down, but just flow along with me, okay? Now, when we're talking about rejection, what is rejection? Rejection can be defined as the act of pushing away someone or something from yourself. So when you push something away from yourself or someone away from you, it's an act of rejection. Now, see, every human being from the very beginning has a need to be accepted in an association. Now, when we're talking about association, even from the early days, people are grouped together in family, clans, tribe, and what have you. And the worst thing that could happen to anybody from those days is if you are ostracized from your tribe or family. The moment you are sent out of the tribe for one thing or the other, it's like a death sentence because you cannot live in isolation. As it was from those days, so it is even today. Today, everybody wants to belong to one association or the other. When I'm talking about association, I'm talking about the association of a family, marriage. We're talking about having relationship with people as friends. We're talking about being in a school, being in a career. We're talking about things that people are doing and you want to be a part of it, one way or the other. All of these things are simply called association. And in those associations, you want to be relevant, to be accepted in them. Now, rejection being a pushing away or a refusal has negative effects in most cases when a person experiences rejection. Now, the rejected person, a person who has been rejected, does feel that he or she does not have any dignity or the beauty that will make him or her attractive to others. Even has a feeling that because he has been rejected, it means nobody thinks well of him or her. The rejected will feel despised and somehow will have to endure a lot of suffering and pain in the place of loneliness. In some instances, the one who has been rejected might as well become the talking point or the laughing point for those who have rejected him or her. Now, when we're talking about rejection, everybody does have a fear of rejection. By the way, let me say this to you. As long as you live in this world, you will experience rejection. You cannot escape it. You will experience rejection. Now, There are various places or entities where you can experience rejection, but the ones that I'm kind of familiar with, I'll talk about. And perhaps you might know one or two others, but at the end of it all, one thing I know for sure is that He who created you and I will accept us as we are, even if men reject you. You are acceptable in God's sight indeed, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Some of us experience rejection from our families. We're talking about typically parental rejection, which may consist of abuse, abandonment, neglect, or the withholding of love and affection from your parents. This form of rejection is most likely to affect anybody for the rest of their life. And what do I mean by this kind of rejection? In the eyes of the parents, you're showing love to your child, but you're never there in the development of the child. It's either the nanny or an auntie, an uncle somewhere that is showing love to the child, but you are never there. All you do is send the money, and when you come around, it's almost like you are not even there. Some of us experience this rejection from our parents because where we needed love from them, we got condemnation. Where we're in error, rather than show us the way that was the right way, we get spanned for doing the wrong thing in their own eyes. I mean, what they call discipline to us in those days, today we parents know that that is called abuse. But God is helping us to still discipline our children, be available for them, not necessarily the way our parents were there. But you see, this kind of rejection from the family has a way of affecting your decision cycle and how you see other people. Because of the rejection you experience from family, there's a possibility that you walk in that pain of rejection in every area of your life. There's also the rejection that comes from within the family unit, that your uniqueness is termed an abnormality. What is unique about you, your family sees it as an abnormality. For me growing up, and probably a few of us in here, for a child that uses the left hand to write, somebody said, that means you are in trouble. They will beat the skill out of you that you will learn by force to write with the right hand. It's because of the thinking that the popular opinion is that you write with your right hand. And if you write with your left hand, it means you're abnormal. Rather than them seeing the uniqueness in you to write the left, they say you're abnormal. And boy, some people have suffered because of their uniqueness. One of our brothers here suffered this kind of abuse also growing up. He was skilled at drawing. He could draw pretty well. But in the eyes of the parents, especially the mom, who felt that I buy the notebook and the pencil for you, but rather you putting numbers together and writing, you keep on drawing. And he got the laying of hands. And it wasn't Holy Ghost that came down. It was fire that burnt away that talent. Until the child got to the point of understanding that if I keep on drawing and exercising my skills, I may not live long enough to have a hand to draw anymore. And he decided to put the talent aside because the parents saw his uniqueness at drawing as an abnormality. Out of their love, they believed that if you keep on drawing, you can make no money out of this. Brother Charles, you know this one. Please, I can say anything I like to you. You won't be offended. You know those days that when you play soccer and you're in trouble with your parents? Yeah. Soccer. You can amount to nothing. But guess what today? People are making mind-boggling money by kicking a ball around for 90 minutes. And you work almost the rest of your life, you can't even make half of it. It seemed because of the way of their thinking at that time, saying your uniqueness is garbage. How about the rejection that comes from the place of marriages? You see, when your partner begins to reject every idea, every suggestion that comes from you, you feel the sense of rejection. When you have become irrelevant in that partnership, as a matter of fact, that partnership has now become a master-slave relationship. Your partner now begins to withhold that love, that affection, and begins to treat you as if you're just a mere acquaintance. We're just roommates living together. The attention that you expect your spouse to give to you is busy giving to something or someone else. Now, when we say someone else, it does not necessarily mean a boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be attention to some other people elsewhere. Some have experienced that their spouses is more devoted to working than to them. Their spouses is more devoted to shopping than to them. Their spouses spends more time with other things than with them. And that sense of rejection in itself begins to make the person who's rejected feel less than that thing that the other partner has held in high esteem. Rejection is also felt in what I call romantic relationship. Everybody say romantic relationship. When a person has developed this kind of romantic affection for a friend that you've been walking around for years or months, and you've developed this affection for that person, or probably you make an attempt to date this person, and what you get is that the person who you develop this affection for, you want to date, does not see you or think of you the way you are thinking of the person. I won't mention names because I don't know if she will hear, but at least Dotu knows. In college, there was this great girl that I just fancied. And all my mind was like, I was going to date this girl. Finally, when I got the strength to go and have a word with her, the first thing that she did was to laugh so much, I felt so small. She laughed at you, Jambite, that is 400 level students, want to go out with me, a sophomore. He must be joking. Finally, she told me, you know what, Kemi, I really like you, but can't we just be friends? She put me into the friend zone. Many people who want to have this kind of romantic relationship with the other person or wants to date or something, they're usually put into what we call the friendship zone. For those who have experienced that, can't we just be friends? It's something that pains your heart to the core. Can anybody identify what I'm saying, or is it just me? Oh, friendship zone. Can't we just be friends? And that thing is so annoying. Friends, after all the lyrics and the campaigning and manifesto presented, I said, I really like you, but can't we just be friends? While she was laughing, ha 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 ha, I was saying, ah. The friend zone is a strange zone to be in. For the lady who's always thinking that, this guy, I'm so nice to him, I like him, I'm hoping that he will put a ring on it, and suddenly he comes to you and says, I have something very important to say to you. And they say, maybe this is the day, and comes to you, you know, I've been liking Miss A. What do you think I should say to her? Because I want to marry her. You're looking at the guy. That, what? Advice from me, but you pull a strong face. But it's that rejection can be painful. And of course, some of us, the guys, I know some of you, when you went to the girl and said, thus said the Lord, the girl said, yes, Lord, marry me. But for those of us who have been there, you go to the girl with everything you got and says, no, go and pray again. You see, rejection could also come in the place of work. For those who have experienced it, do you know how painful it is that you apply for a job? You've done all the interviews that need to be done, and yet you're told you're not good enough. I had two experiences concerning rejection and job. In the first place I went up to the third interview. They even took me around to meet all the people I've been working with, and I felt good. Finally, I got a job. Lo and behold, I got an email saying they found somebody else. I said, what do you mean? I've even started boasting and buying clothes that I've not earned the salary for, and you're telling me you're not going to take me? That devastated me. The second one, I even spoke to the mayor of the city. And I felt good that I said, "Oh, we love diversity. Yeah, it's good. You're from Nigeria. Yeah, we should hire you at the rest." Lo and behold, I got a phone call saying, "Sorry, Mr. Odigbanjo, we can't hire you." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because somebody transferred from Columbia County to Richmond County, and since he knows the job, we can't hire you." That shattered me because I felt I was rejected because I didn't work in the county, and they felt I wasn't good enough. How about rejection that you feel from your friends? You believe that this person is your friend and you love this person. Not romantic now, but it's your friend. But then your friend is throwing a party. You hear about it and you get no invitation. You feel the sense of rejection. Or perhaps you're having a celebration and those who will call your friends suddenly find every excuse in the book not to attend your celebration. I experienced this also once, and it was devastating for me. But thank God for those who are true friends that showed up. I remember when my son was graduating, my second son, Ife. It was on a Wednesday. I announced in church on Sunday that, hey, my son is graduating on Sunday, and I was super excited. So on Wednesday, please come to James Brown Arena, and let's celebrate together. Lo and behold, on that day, apart from my family members, nobody else showed up. I felt pained because I went to elder or every other person's graduation. To make matters worse, that was the day everyone that had on Sunday that I'm graduating my son on Wednesday decided that they're coming for Bible study. Pastor, where are you? I said, my son is graduating. Oh, do you mean that your son's graduation is more important than the work of the Lord? That pained my heart. Oh, I felt bad. That, are you kidding me? My son is graduating. I said, celebrate with me. All the food that we prepared was in the freezer for a few months because I was ready to celebrate. But that hurt me very deep. You know, when the people that you love, friends, now say the kind of relationship you want to have to you and treat you as a mere acquaintance, that could be very hurtful. Especially when you know that this person, you are my friend, I'll tell you everything, and then that phone doesn't reciprocate. Or you hear about what they're doing from somebody outside. That could be hurtful. That is rejection. You see, ultimately, I could go on and on with examples, but for the interest of time, I know you understand what I'm saying already, and for those of us who have experienced rejection, know what I'm saying. You see, the extent of the impact of the rejection depends largely on you, the receiver, and who it is that is doling it out to you. If it's somebody that you love, somebody that you have a relationship with rejecting you, it's painful. But if it's okay, it doesn't matter. Those who have a low self-esteem of themselves are more likely to feel the impact of rejection than those who have a good self-esteem. I say that again. Those who have a low self-esteem of their self are more likely to feel the impact of rejection than those who have a good self-esteem. Is it your reaction or your response to rejection, be it in marriage, be it in friendship, be it in romantic relationship, at work, wherever it may be, could lead to varying degree of reactions. And it's left to you. Some of us have experienced everything. Some have never experienced it. But if you're honest with yourself, you may fall into any of this category. When you're rejected, whichever thing or entity that may cause that rejection, it will cause you to have a total self-rejection. Say that with me. Total self-rejection. Now, where does total self-rejection comes from? When you're obsessed with the fact that except it's this person, except I receive this thing, except this thing happened, I will not be happy. And that thing does not happen. You begin to reject your own self, and this will lead to resentment. It will lead to internalized anger, the erosion of the little self-esteem that you have, and probably it will lead to depression. Because you are rejected outside, you begin to reject yourself also. And when you reject yourself, you become like a grasshopper in your own sight. And that will not lead you to anywhere other than just being down there. It's only me in the world and nobody else. There's also the one that I call partial self-rejection. The person that experiences partial self-rejection is the one that will say, well, there are many fishes in the sea. If you don't take me, somebody else will take me. If I apply here, you don't take me, I'll apply to some other place. By and by, you've made application to over 50 places, and guess what? Rejection. There will come a time when you get tired of writing application. There will come a time you say, enough of waiting for anybody to say, marry me. I'm not marrying again. In fact, I'm going to become a priest. But I'm going to the convent. People who have partial self-rejection become introverted. They become angry with everyone. Simply because every place they've turned into, there's a rejection. So you're even afraid to talk. And because you're holding on to the memories of the rejection of the past, everyone around you is like, it's just like that one. When he talks to me, it's the way that joker spoke to me. Maybe he's looking for the same thing. I beg, it's not good. And you begin to reject partially all around you. There's also rejection that leads to a loss of self-confidence. Say that with me. Loss of self-confidence. You see, after suffering multiple rejection, for those who have moved beyond partial self-rejection, they say, you know what? Maybe there's something truly wrong with me. And now they begin to listen to all mannerism of counsel. They begin to do things in the way that will please other people. Perhaps if you dress in this way, they will look at you. Perhaps if you say, praise the Lord more, the girl in the church will love you. Perhaps if you say you're a prayer warrior, join the prayer team, the Lord will answer your prayer. And you begin to do things based on what other people are telling you. You now become what we call a people pleaser. Because you want to fall in love, you want something in particular, you manipulate things because other people manipulated it. You are told that the only way you can get a job in that place is if you use somebody else's stuff to get the job. All kind of crazy things, and all you see yourself doing so as to cushion the rejection is that you become a people pleaser. Such that have a loss of self-confidence, they become unnecessarily anxious, want to please everybody and to be accepted. And because they want to please everybody, they get ripped apart and down they go. In reacting to rejection, there's also the part of turning the rejection to power. We're talking about having self-confidence built through that rejection. It's an opportunity to look inwards. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Look inwards. What are you thinking? What kind of words are you saying to yourself after a rejection? Is that rejection a self-fulfilling prophecy saying that there are no good people in Augusta, there are no good people in this land? There's no good job in this place, and now I'll never get a job. And meanwhile, thousands of people are coming in. Many are coming in and finding what you're looking for. Maybe it's what you're saying to yourself that's really messing things up for you. You see, I learned a couple of things. And I'm talking about myself now, okay? How to turn rejection to power. Four things I'll share with you. It's worked for me, and it's still working for me, and I hope it's worked for you also. Number one thing is that I view your rejection of me as your perception of me, not the perception of myself. I say that again. Your rejection of me, I view it as your perception of me, but not the perception of myself. That you don't want to hire me doesn't mean I'm not good enough. It's your perception of saying I'm overqualified or underqualified. But for me, that's not the way I see myself. You say I'm not good looking enough. That is your perception of me. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made in the image and the likeness of God. So in my viewing rejection as your own perception of me, not my perception of myself, I've taken away the power of the pain of perception of rejection away from you. That you do not want me in your group doesn't mean something is wrong with me. It's your own perception of me. And I'm not going to accept what you think of me above what I think of myself. Secondly, as a result of that, I equally recognize that the intensity of the pain of rejection that I feel is directly proportionate to the amount of focus, everyone say focus, I give to the act of rejection. I say that again. The intensity of the pain of rejection that I feel is directly proportionate to the amount of focus that I give to the act of rejection. In simple English, I feel more pain when I focus on the act of rejection. My solution? Even though the entire church knew that my son was graduating and they didn't come, I celebrate the fact that those who were my family were there to celebrate my son with me. And because of that, I had joy in my heart that I was still relevant to a couple of people. You know, folks, I want you to think about it for a moment. If you really think about it, do you know that the number of people that you're thinking about that rejected you are far less than the number of people that are accepting you? Think about it. You're concerned about your father, your mom, your brother, your sister, your pastor, your husband rejecting you. Meanwhile, there's a troop of people that accept you for who you are and what you are. I learned that, look, you know what? If I focus on what rejection I felt, I'll do nothing. It took a while. The rejection is painful. I felt it. I felt pain. Even my wife was looking at me, came, you don't think you should pack this thing up? I said, no. The call is beyond the people that have rejected me. As long as God has not rejected me and you have not rejected me, I'm kosher. Number three, because I was able to focus, I recognize that rejection can be an instrument of change for me. In other words, to learn and to grow. Through rejection, I'm given an opportunity to contemplate my own behavior and say, is there something I need to change?
Is there a way I need to stop thinking and start thinking? Even though they rejected me, but there might be an element of truth, but I look inwards. Is there something I need to change so I can grow beyond this rejection? I'm thinking about, is it possible that I'm doing something in a way that causes that rejection? Now, many people might not want to get to this, but I recognize the fact that when things happen in your life, there's an element of truth in it. And that helped me equally. Because I realized that even though it's their perception of me, even though I don't want to focus on the act of rejection, but equally I can look and say, okay, let me see what they're seeing from that end. Maybe there's something I need to adjust. Now, when you begin to recognize that rejection can be an opportunity for you to make some changes in your own life, perhaps you are holding on to what your parents did to you in the past, and because of that, you are acting out to your spouse. Some of us grew up seeing our father loving our moms with slaps and kicks. And now the daughters, because of what they saw their father doing to their mom, they are like men to their husbands, that I will not let you do what my dad did to my mom. And that blocks up a lot of things. Now, perhaps you need to change your thinking. Perhaps what you're saying, you talk too much, talk less, and say something. It's an opportunity for you to learn and grow. And if you are able to learn and grow, you will convert rejection to acceptance. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing that you walk through the valley of the shadow of rejection, knowing fully well that in the midst of it, you will find acceptance. Because it's in the presence of your enemies that God can prepare a table for you to prosper. And probably it might be trivial to you, but to me it's important. I suddenly realized now what really matters at the end of the day is self-approval. What did I say? Self-approval. It's not your approving me that matters more. It's what I approve of myself that matters the more. That you do not approve me does not mean I do not approve myself. When you say you can only be happy until somebody says be happy, you've given that person the power to rule over your life. If you say, until my husband says in the morning, I love you, and the guy chooses not to say, I love you, and you say, he doesn't love me, you walk around thinking you are not loved, but the poor guy, being a typical African man, doesn't know how to say, I love you to the wife. Shh, Charles. Charles, I'm preaching. What's the matter with you? Why are you laughing? Anyway. But you know, what I'm talking about is, it's something. I remember in the old days, not that too old anyway, when we were starting up in church, we were told that have a pet name for your wife. Make sure you have a pet name for your husband and everything. Unfortunately, Kemi doesn't have a pet name other than call my wife Miss Dot. And I remember somebody comes to the house one day telling me that, no, Pastor Kemi, you need to call your wife a pet name. That's the only way she'll know she loves you. And I said, Dot, honey, sweetheart, he said, better stop or else your teeth will fall down. Call me Miss Dot. I know you love me. You don't need to call me honey, sweetheart. We understand ourselves. That's somebody else's perception that I need to give her a pet name to show I love her. No, I don't need to give her a pet name. Self-approval is key. Not what everybody else thinks for you, but what are you thinking for yourself? Rejection could stop you dead on your tracks. Rejection could make you feel less of yourself. Rejection can make you too highly of yourself than you ought to. Rejection could put you in the place of loneliness. Rejection could make you stop dead on your tracks and don't do anything because you've been rejected too many times. Rejection could make you hate everybody around you and feel that nobody truly loves you. Rejection is painful, very painful. Believe me, those who have suffered rejection know what I'm talking about. But this morning, we need to be free from rejection. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, as I begin to round up. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden is talking about emotional distress. Negative emotion that emanated from the place of rejection. Somebody who's thinking about how I've been rejected by every suitor. How I've been put into the friend zone when I don't want to be in the friend zone. How I have not got the job that I wanted. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Someone that suddenly realized that the reason I was rejected for that job is an opportunity for me to go and add additional skills, learn new things, converting rejection to power. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. He now said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn from me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And you shall find what? Rest for your soul. And went on further to say, for my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. Jesus is saying to you, I have experienced rejection. I know what it feels like. I've experienced it in a way that you can never fathom. I know what it means for a family to reject you. I know what it means for family to abuse you. I know what it means for those who you look up to look down at you and look down hard. I know what it means to want to have a relationship with somebody and rejects you. I know what it means when you reach out and say, I'll give you this in exchange. And says, no, what you have in your hand is too small. I know what it means when those who are meant to be with me betray me and deny me. I know what it is. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to 5. Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to 5. Many of us know the scripture. It says, who has believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. And he had no form or comeliness that we should see him. And there's no beauty that we should desire him. This is somebody who already rejected. And the Bible said, he was what? He was despised. And what? Rejected of men. A man of sorrow. A man acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. This is a guy who experienced rejection. Look at the emotional feeling he was feeling. But the Bible said, surely he bore our grief. For everyone that is feeling the grief of rejection, Jesus felt it. He carried our sorrow. For everyone that is carrying the sorrow of rejection, Jesus has been through it. Yet we did not esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. And verse 5 now said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Brethren, this is what I'm trying to say to you. I'm experiencing power from the place of rejection now. I'm bolder in my own little way. I feel more energy to do what I believe is true to my heart. Not that I don't care what you think, but I care more what I think of myself. Not that what you're saying is wrong, but I'm more particular about what my heart is saying to me. Not that I want to be in the midst of a routine, but I'm willing to break routine and say, no, I want to do it differently. Because I know in my heart, this is what he wants me to do. I'm bolder. And I can say what I want to say without disrespecting anybody. I can use myself as an example because I've been there. I heard Brother Kunle talking about what he did in those days. And I was saying, look at this guy. Can you even say that on the pulpit? But the guy has walked away because he understands the grace of God over his life. I said, I don't care what happened in the past. It's what God is doing from this time going forward that matters to me. And sir, that's what matters to me too. So what? You don't come to my child's birthday party or graduation. So what? Okay, no problem. But that doesn't stop from coming to yours. That I'm sick and I need tender loving care. You don't come. So, Those who came still took care of me, but that doesn't stop me from loving you. You don't call me, so I still call you. It doesn't matter. I want you to come to understand that there's no grief, no pain from the past that you're feeling that Jesus has now felt. And today, by his stripes, you can be healed. And we shall be healed indeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So let me say something to somebody, even as we close now. Please open to, please can you bring up Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Let me say this to somebody in here today who is suffering from that rejection. You've experienced rejection, be it at home with your family, be it at work, hey, be it in the church, be it amongst friends. There's a need for you to receive the healing that God has for you today. He's saying unto you and I, he said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider what? The things of old. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Joseph, we know in the Bible, his family rejected him. But when the time came for him to be where he was meant to be, he did not consider or remember the things of old. Rather, he told them, you meant it for bad. But guess what? God took over and made it good. Brethren, all things shall work together for your good. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of that rejection, things worked out for him. He can work for you too. I don't know those of us, and I feel somebody suffered an abuse as a child in here. And because of that, your relationship with other people today is kind of skewed. You shall be delivered, and you are delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever pain you experience growing up that is causing you and failing you today, the Lord shall remove it away in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where you're experiencing pain, you shall begin to experience pleasure in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For those who have experienced continuous denial and rejection in that place of romantic relationship, it's time for you to thank the Lord. And why do I say thank the Lord? You can learn from it and grow. Since God said it's not good for a man to be alone, neither is it good for a woman to be alone. At the appointed time, he will make all things beautiful for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But you need to remove those thoughts of rejection, that pain of rejection from you, and just let it go. Let it go. When the time is right, when you're ready, your eyes will open. Your ears will open. Guess what? You'll say the words that she needs to hear. You will hear the words you need to hear from him, and all things will become beautiful indeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So when he says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Each time you think about the rejection you felt in the past, you miss out on the current things that are waiting for you. But you will get it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He said, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Folks, what God is saying to somebody who's experiencing rejection here this morning is that he is doing something new in your life. Where there existed ancient places of rejection, they shall become the present place of acceptance in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where you've always thought it's impossible, he will make it possible for you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we began by praying that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the branch of rejection is broken off today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said every branch of rejection is broken off from your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That entrepreneurial spirit that you have is revived today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Where you have asked for help, they're calling you for your help now.
Amen.
I hope you understand what I just said. You went to them and said, help me. Now they're calling and say, we need your help. In other words, where you have been rejected, you are about to be accepted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where you have played second fiddle for too long, you shall be restored to your rightful place in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So therefore this morning, is there anybody here who's saying, I need to forget about the old? Lord, I can't do this, but you can help me. I need to forget about the old. I don't want to dwell in the rejection of the past, but I want to dwell in the acceptance of the present. I don't want to focus on what went wrong in my life, but I want to accept what is there now. For everyone that is saying, I'm sure something is wrong with me. This is why things always go wrong. Stop that nonsense. I begin to say, I know things are right with me. That's why things start going right for me now. Because your former praying partner finally is now married with kids and you are still loafing around, doesn't mean something is wrong with you. In God's time, He will make all things beautiful for you. Enough of being a chief bridesmaid, a best man. It's time for people to line up behind you and celebrate you too. And you shall be celebrated in Jesus' name. For somebody in your household, in your family, who is believing God for the fruit of the womb, this morning I declare, because you are here, say to them, the Lord has heard your prayer. In this time, in turn of time, we shall celebrate you in Jesus' name. I want you to begin to talk to God this morning, if you can. I want you to bow down your heads and talk to Him. Have you experienced rejection in any area? Perhaps it's in your family and the pain of it is still prevalent today. It has messed you up to the point that you're afraid to try. Maybe you should try again. Because the Lord is doing something new. He placed that potential in you. You can do it again. Perhaps you have experienced rejection in your family, in your home, your marriages. It's time for you to know that God will make you relevant. For you are relevant in that home. Perhaps in that romantic relationship that you desire, God is saying, launch out into the deep for a great catch. Launch out into the deep for a great catch. It's in the deep that your acceptance is waiting for you. Launch out into the deep. For all those who find themselves in the friend zone, it's time for you to get out of that zone and move into the place of true companionship. It's time for you to stop doing what they ask you to do and start asking God, what do you have me do? Why not ask the Lord this morning, create in me a clean heart, of God. Help me to begin to see things differently. Help me to begin to see power in the place of rejection. Is anybody willing and asking that I need to walk away from this rejection? I need to overcome the sense of rejection. Is anybody saying that this morning? Still with all heads bowed, with all eyes closed. I'm not really interested, but I believe God is interested. And it's before God that you're doing this. You're failing to identify. It's another way of self-rejection. But you know what? I'm standing up and I tell you I've experienced rejection. I'm speaking to you because I know I've experienced it. But now I'm finding acceptance in the Lord and in myself. And I celebrate those who have accepted me for who I am. And they help me to grow and be better. They help me to chip off the rough edges and make me a better person. And I thank God for their lives. You're equally here this morning. And you feel, I've experienced rejection. And it's affected my life in strange ways. Just lift up your hands and put it back down. Just identify with the Lord. Hey, I've experienced rejection. I need acceptance. Just put it up and put it back down. My eyes are closed to you, so I'm not even looking at you, but the Lord can see you. You can identify with Him and say, Lord, I just need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need self-confidence. I need self-confidence. Lord, help me. Help me. I need to renew my mind. Take away the heart of stone from within me and give me a heart of flesh. Help me to think of myself beautiful, not based on what somebody else has said, not based on what they said, I can amount to nothing. In you, I can amount to plenty.